Good evening, my skeletons and scallywags. This is Brian and Eric Gump along here. We did it. See, I think we stuck the landing. This is Brian and Eric Gump along here. We're streaming live on twitch.tv/goblinvoice right now. We're here tonight. And every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Once this is done, you can catch us anywhere you get your podcasts. I'm Eric. I'm here with my esteemed, my illustrious, my very handsome, intimidating, scholarly, and esoteric colleague, Brian. Brian, how's it going?
I am all of those things. Hello, Eric. Thank you. Thank you for that very lengthy, many synonym. We're off to a great start. We're sticking the landing.
We're doing great.
We're doing great, bud.
We stuck the landing.
I think this is a great, we didn't mention on the show, the original idea that this was going to be monthly. But I'm just having so much ding dang fun doing it that, we went back to weekly. So we'll be here every Tuesday.
And frankly, we could use the practice. We got to get the reps in. I was just ready to do that intro. I was just pacing back and forth in my bathroom, just eating coffee beans. Ready to go. That's the only problem with doing the show weekly, man. I'm never going to sleep a wink.
You get too spooked.
Too amped up and spooked.
How was your week, man?
It was good. I took a trip up to Burlington, Vermont. Highly recommend.
What was in Burlington?
Nothing spooky at all. Just the nicest people. Wonderful restaurants and eateries. We've got a lot of farms up there. It's just a land where you go fast down hills. They grow a lot of marijuana. They brew a lot of beer. They have nice coffee, great farms, farm to table eating. It's a nice place. Highly recommend.
I'm going to look up hauntings in Burlington.
Just how many Indian burial grounds are
just
there?
It's the fact that you were like, there's nothing spooky.
There's
I'm like,
nothing,
well, that
nothing.
Cannot be
no,
true.
No, there must be. It's an ancient northern place. It's the Northeast Kingdom.
Oh man, we've got history space here. BurlingtonFreePress.com has history space, the ghosts of Burlington.
Wow.
Eric?
Wow.
Eric?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing on this list of like spooky stuff in Burlington. Eric, I'm so excited to tell you the first thing on this list.
What do we got?
The Phantom Stallion.
Oh, baby. What is that? Is this just a stallion? I thought you were going to say a haunted can of maple syrup.
I'm sure that's there too. This is only the first thing on the list. Okay, reading directly from BurlingtonFreePress.com, which I think is it's my premier source for information on Burlington. I don't know about you. During fireside chats with his cronies, folk hero Ethan Allen famously claimed he would be reincarnated as a powerful white steed. Sure enough, a magnificent phantom stallion has been spotted in the morning mists of the Intervale lands where Allen once made his home. Witnesses say the ghost horse thunders back and forth across the fields, growing more transparent as twilight fades. Allen's official grave is in Burlington's Greenmount Cemetery, but nobody really knows where he's buried. So it's nice to know there's one place we'll be sure to find him.
So I just want to go, let's just talk about Ethan Allen for a second, because that's a hilarious prophecy for yourself. So he was a farmer, a businessman.
I know the name Ethan Allen, but it is not coming to me who he is.
So he was a Revolutionary War hero during the American Revolution. He got into it, real patriot of these fair United States of America. But that's hilarious that guy, like, imagine a war hero today, or like, I don't know, one of the moon astronauts was like, when I die, I'm coming back as a strong and powerful horse.
That is what Buzz Aldrin shouts out his window every single night.
I'm going to be a horse. I was going to say, I couldn't in my brain parse Neil versus Lance Armstrong fast enough. I feel like Lance Armstrong does want to be a horse. That's why he's taking all those drugs. He just
that's
wants
it.
To be
that's
a,
it. And that
a
is
horse now.
The rumor is that is how you become a horse.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all those guys want.
I don't even want to read the rest of this list. I think that Ghost Horse was perfect.
Let's. You know that meme where it's a car taking the exit violently? Let's do original topic, Haunted Burlington, and just go for it.
A real Brian and Eric move.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just here was the topic. Not interested. Ghost Horse.
Yeah, except Ethan Allen. Ghost Horse. Maybe.
That could. If anyone could fill an hour on Ethan Allen Ghost Horse question mark, it'd be you and me, brother.
I think it's us. I think we're riding that Ghost Horse straight to obscurity.
Okay. We have to put on, when we decided that this was going to become a weekly show, we realized we had to get our shit together. We had to get a new doc, all the stuff from our old show. Uh-huh. And Ethan Allen Ghost Horse has to go on there. We have to find one person who has seen the Ethan Allen Ghost Horse.
There's got to be. I sort of wanted you to read that entire list so I could realize that I'd seen and just ignored all of those things. During my trip, like, oh, that's what that white horse was? I was in my bedroom.
should I just read the actual names of the haunted things so we can see if anything?
Let's just check it out. Yeah, maybe I was
all right.
Burlington.
Great. All right. Burlington Free Press. I just can't quit you.
No. It's great journalism.
So we have the Phantom Stout, the spirit of Timothy Follett, Follett.
That's tricky.
Yeah. He just seems like a guy. He maybe haunts a mansion, Greek Revival mansion, 69 College Street.
Not very original, but that's fine. But cool address though.
Cool address.
That's a cool, that's some cool stuff's going on at 69 College Street.
We should, I don't know where I was going with that, but something about a frat, something about us starting a ghost frat.
Starting a spooky frat. Just constantly bullied. Not invited to anything.
The state of Arizona says in chat, that's definitely a real address if I've ever heard one.
I think probably.
Oh, Eric, you're going to love this one. Yeah. This next one. Old Isaac at the shanty.
That's just a guy. That's just a man who runs a general store.
Buddy, there is like a house here with a lobster on it. It appears to be a seafood restaurant. We just have to read this one. In the mid-1800s, Isaac Nye was a successful merchant on Burlington's waterfront, running a storefront in his building at 181 Battery Street, previously headquarters for the Lake Champlain Transportation Company. It's now occupied by the popular restaurant Shanty on the Shore.
I saw that. I think I saw the Shanty on the Shore.
You saw a ghost, my friend. Whoa. You saw old Isaac.
Is the whole building a ghost?
Well, that's what we're about to find out. Nye sold goods to neighbors and to men from the ships that docked in Burlington's harbor. He made just enough conversation to complete his business transactions, had brief interactions with the family that rented his room upstairs, and gave instructions to the young Irish boy named James, who was his helper and companion. Otherwise, he kept to himself. He had one interesting hobby, though. He liked to follow funerals. It was written that whether Nye knew the deceased or not, he would ride his buggy to the grave, stay until the last clod of dirt fell on the casket, then silently turn and head for home. Come on, let's get to the ghost here. I know he's a freak.
Man loved funerals.
Okay. He died at 80. His last wishes were read. He requested that his store, closed for 30 years, be open and his body placed on the counter where he had done business year for years.
At 30 years later. So his 30-year-old corpse goes on the counter?
His store had been closed for 30 years and he wanted to be laid on the counter.
Okay. Got it.
Cobwebs covered everything. And there Nye was in the center of it all as townsfolk filed by to pay the respects. Some servers and staff, at the shanty claim old Isaac is still hanging around, pacing, moving things around the restaurant, and rattling drinking glasses just for fun. I was hoping there was a dead body in the middle of this restaurant.
Yeah, same. That's a cool flex move.
The actual soft fuzzy man says, "Weird dude!" Exclamation point.
Not normal. Not a normal guy.
Yeah, so you didn't see old Isaac.
I should have done this research before. This is a classic Brian and Eric move. Go to a place and then figure out what's haunted after you leave.
Yes.
Son of a...
Yes. We're very smart like that. Though, we can do the other Brian and Eric thing where we say we're going to go back and we're going to visit all these locations and then never do it.
We never will. It's so far away. It's really far.
Just, nope, another week will go by and we'll just be fucking... jabbing gums at each other about, I don't know, what are we talking about this week? Fucking Viking magic?
Yeah, dude, we're talking, speaking of cold northern places, we're talking about Viking magic, which is really to say I found one YouTube channel and just went bananas on it.
the other Brian and Eric way of doing things.
Yeah, that's right. Find one source and just really, really go ham on it.
Yep. Yep. So I don't know any, is that how you found this? Just falling down a YouTube hole?
Yeah, 100%. And now there's actually, what I've realized is there's a lot of channels dedicated to this. There's a whole community around this. Oh, yeah, we got the number on the screen. You can call us anytime. We're at 475-888-0516. If you're listening to this later, you're cruising your podcast app and you call this number, nothing happens, right, Brian?
I mean, you'll probably go to voicemail. This is through just a service. I have gotten, I was telling you right before the show, I have gotten, I don't know who had this number beforehand, but I have gotten a large amount of, sex solicitations.
Definitely feel free to write this on some bathroom walls. You're
yeah,
home,
you know
you're
what?
Listening. Just actually, get us out there.
You know what? Do it. I think any attention is good attention. But I got oral bottom here looking, I got that on Sunday. Let's see. I got sup. You free for some head right now? New Haven.
Wow.
So if anyone wants to,
we should start connecting these people with folks in our audience. If you're in the audience and you are free for some head, you're in New Haven. We have someone on the other.
We could be like a taxi cab, sir. It's
that's right. Yeah, we're the connector.
Just a way less effective Tinder. We'll just start matching people up based on nothing, no profiles, just like, yo, head right now. And
yeah. Yeah. Anyone? Just very dangerous, very risky behavior.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Do not use our service.
Yeah, for sure not. Very bad.
But it is subscription. It is $30 a month. Don't use it. Don't use it.
Let's never talk about Viking magic. I think our new rule should be we are allowed to talk about whatever's in the title, whatever the topic is. We can talk about anything except that thing. It's like the negative space of our show.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I think that's great podcasting, Eric.
It's the best. It's the best kind. Okay, so Viking magic. How do we want to start? So one thing that I found out, which is weird. I mean, do you know anything about Viking magic? Have you gone down this rabbit hole at all?
I know Vikings is a popular television show on AMC.
Have you seen that? Have you watched it?
No, not a damn minute.
Love it. Love that.
I know Viking. I know the Skarsgårds kind of look a bit like what I imagine Vikings looked like.
Sure, sure.
And my wife plays in Assassin's Creed that involves Vikings, I think.
That's a good one.
Is it?
That's a fun one. Yeah.
I can't tell the difference between any of them.
It's all the same. I wish they would take out the VR memory thing. It would make the game so much better.
No one. That's not the part anybody seems to like in Assassin's Creed.
No, it's just completely, it just ruins the whole thing.
But you know what they do in Assassin's Creed, the Viking one? I'm sure it has a name, but I'm just calling it Assassin's Creed, the Viking one. You know what they do? Magic.
Do they do magic?
I assume.
I'd like to talk about video games more. That was a real alley-oop for me, and I'm going to slap it down. I don't want it.
That's not what we do here.
That was dangerously close to smooth radio. that's not how we roll. We're playing pick-up bare-knuckle pigskin out here. No, all right. Let's talk about Viking magic. So, a couple of things.
Okay, before you get started.
Sure.
No.
No, you go. Hey, by the way, really quick, where did the Nicolas Cage that was behind you go? Is that gone? Is
what Nicolas Cage?
Wow, glitch in the matrix.
If you're listening to this audio only, I do behind me have a large Nicolas Cage cutout that I got for my wife for Christmas.
It's nice. See, that's love. That's love. He's looking good. No, yeah, this
stand
is
up on his own.
Probably not.
This is great podcast.
In real life, great podcast and radio. Right now, if you're listening, Brian is gingerly arranging a cutout of Nicolas Cage. All right, let's talk about. We're 16 minutes in. That's the perfect time to start talking about Viking magic.
Great.
The topic that never arrives. So first of all, I have to give some credit. We've got to cite our sources here. And in this case, it's easy because I have one source. It's one YouTube channel. Can we put it in the chat? Can we link to it in the chat, Brian?
Yeah. Throw the link to me in the private chat and then I will throw it.
I love that.
We'll just pass it back and forth.
See, that's the ticket. So why is this not loading?
Tell you what, I'll include it in the episode description.
There we go. That's fine. Oh. Yeah, that's a better way to do that. So anyway, so this is a channel called Norse Magic and Beliefs, hosted by a young man. I shouldn't say young man. He's probably our age. We're young men. Yeah, we're young men. We're young men. He looks just more mature than us. He's a burly Viking looking fellow. I think he's actually Norwegian. His name is Thor Elptirdaler. I don't know. We'll throw this one in the chat. I'll chat this to you, Brian, because I don't know how to say this. Thor, how do you say that? Thor Elptirdaler?
You like, I'm the fucking expert? You just, yeah. All consonants.
You love to pronounce hard stuff. That's one of your things.
I did not know that. I gotta close out that one. I'm gonna throw that one in the chat. And I'll tell you what, you know what we've been missing? A really strong call-in topic.
Oh yeah.
What I want people to do is call the number on your screen right now, 475-888-0516. Say that name.
So, okay. So this guy, Thor, that's such a sick name. I found his Instagram. He's an MMA athlete. He's a DJ producer and he runs a Norse pagan YouTube channel. One thing about Thor that I really respect is he does not like neo-pagans at all.
Interesting.
So there's a whole, if you delve even a little bit into the world of magic and the occult, there are whole communities of people, Wiccans, neo-pagans, who kind of take practices and beliefs and symbols from all over the place. You're wearing an Ankh, you're burning patchouli, you're doing ayahuasca, you know, you're praying to some Tibetan deity or whatever. You're picking and you're choosing. And what he's saying is you're just making things up in a worst case, you're making things up about a tradition. Mm-hmm. What he takes umbrage with is a lot of people claiming things are Viking magic or claiming things are Nordic magic that are not. And he says, hey, we've actually got sources we can consult. And the other thing about Thor is he's not, as far as I can tell, he's not really a practitioner of magic. He's kind of a scholar. He likes to delve into it and figure out what's what. And what's interesting is we've actually got a lot of sources. Brian, do you have any idea what actually the number one source on Norse magic is?
I have no idea what the number one source of Norse magic could possibly be.
Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a lot of cranky Christian monks and bishops outlawing various things.
Interesting.
That keep popping up in these newly Christianized Nordic and Viking places.
And so that's the main way we can actually track what this shit is?
Yeah, there's a couple of other sources. We have the Viking Eddas, which is sort of their mythology. We have the sagas, which are the oral tales of derring do and heroism. And we actually have some Viking grimoires that survive to this day called Black Books, Svartabaks. But yeah, one of the main records are law codes prohibiting various practices from these people.
Interesting. I mean, that makes a, it's a, the state of Arizona says in chat, that makes a lot of sense. And it does. the state of Arizona also says, if a Christian told me don't do magic, I would do magic. And I think that explains a lot of people who start exploring magic. I have a question. This is just me being a true idiot. What is neo-paganism? How is that different from Wicca? I don't know. I really don't know anything about it.
Brian, I don't either. To be honest with you, in true Brian and Eric fashion, I'm not exactly sure. I think I'm not even going to speculate. I think neo-paganism is probably a broader umbrella of just a revival of any pre-Christian or non-Christian practice. Sure. Whereas Wicca is really focused around witchcraft.
Sure.
But I couldn't I couldn't tell you what that is.
I just to answer my own question, I did some quick Googling. And this is just reading the key thing off of fucking Britannica. Neo-paganism, any of several spiritual movements that attempt to revive the ancient polytheistic religions of Europe and the Middle East. These movements have a close relation to ritual magic and modern witchcraft. I guess. Interesting.
Yeah.
It'd take a pretty deep dive. I think maybe someone someday may, hey, if you know and want to call in right now, once again, I'll throw that number up. 475-888-0516 and educate us on things we don't fucking know anything about.
The state of Arizona says paganism, but make it new. That's right.
That makes a lot of sense.
So yeah, so what Thor is saying basically is, oh, that's cool. You can kind of dibble and dabble in all these different traditions and whatever, but there actually is a sort of preserved tradition in this culture that you can reference and you can sort of know if you're speculating or you're actually replicating what they did.
Sure.
And a lot of that is based on stuff that they were no longer allowed to do. And it's pretty funny. I mean, there's stuff. So I'll give you a quick one, Brian. Do you know what you do if you have a sick kid?
I'm going to assume rest and some chicken soup is not.
You're way off. You're way off. That kid is dead. That kid just died. Oh, I bet you'd take him to a doctor.
My Viking child. No.
Yeah, you fool. You fool. No, here's what you do. You pass the baby through a hole in the earth, a stone, or a tree while reciting an incantation.
I mean, I egg on my face. I should have known. I should have put that together.
Common sense. So we've got an abbot named Alfrich in the 900s, and he writes about witnessing women going to a crossroads and drawing children through the earth in a most diabolical fashion. We've got records from Ireland. Wise women would pass children through splits and ash saplings and stone. So that's one other thing that I want to just clarify here. So a lot of these Viking practices, you can also find, specifically this one with the kids passing through holes and stuff, you can find them all over Europe. They're all over the place. So there's some kind of continuous magical culture, and then there's some things that are unique to kind of Viking and Nordic culture.
Here's a question.
Yeah,
and I'm not expecting an answer.
Okay.
Surely in like medieval Europe, you know, babies would get sick.
Sure.
And presumably, if the order of the world works in the way I, Brian, tend to think it does, passing a baby through a hole in a tree or the earth didn't probably make much of a difference. So how would that, surely, like, and kids died all the time. I wonder how it all got. It surely was not presented as a 100% effective strategy, but I wonder what the numbers were that it got, like, yo, this old lady's got to take your baby to a hole, and that'll maybe fix it up.
Put the baby in the hole.
Put the baby in the hole.
So there's an interesting symbolic aspect to this, which is a potential, if your kid's born sick or malformed in some way, it's a potential rebirth. It's coming out of the earth again.
Interesting.
Do anything? I don't know.
Who are we to say? Who are we to say?
But that's kind of the idea. You're saying an incantation. You're doing this thing. Everybody's gathering around the kid. They're putting it through the hole. I mean, placebo is a thing.
Sure. Is placebo a thing for a baby?
Maybe. I don't know. What about the collective belief around the baby? What if everybody thinks the baby's
sick? We've talked a lot about collective belief and manifesting things in that manner. And that's an interesting point, my friend.
Yep. And so there was probably some kind of incantation or song or rhyme or something that gets said around this. We don't have records exactly of what this is. And again, literally everything I'm saying, I'm taking all this from our man, Thor. Check out his YouTube channel. He deep dives in all this. He cites his sources much more completely than we do. And he goes directly to the primary sources. So this is just a recap of some interesting things from his channel. Hey, Brian, I have a question for you.
I would love to answer this question 100% on the mark. Correct.
Do you ever wish you had a little more money?
Always.
You know, just a little more scrap.
Just a little more. I don't want a ton more. I just want a little more.
Just a little bit. You know how you might do that?
How might I do that?
I'll tell you what. If you're thinking investing in stocks, getting a second job, getting kind of a side hustle.
I didn't think of any of those things. No. I want a better one. I want a better one.
So first thing you need to do, you're going to need to get permission from a living man to use his skin upon his death.
Okay. Yeah. Follow me so far.
Step one. After burial, you or a sorcerer you know is going to have to dig up this man's body and skin it in one piece from the waist down. Then you still with me?
Can't break it. It's got to be one piece.
Sure.
No room for error there.
Now you're going to need to steal a coin from a poor widow. And you're going to need to place that coin. You know where you're going to need to place that coin?
Any idea? Eric, I'm worried where the fucking... I'm worried where that coin's got
to
go.
Where do you think you have to place that coin?
It's got to go in the butt. Eric's got to go in the butt.
Brian, you're quite close, but no, it doesn't. It's going to go in the scrotum of the man who you just skinned alive.
So and in you know the, what else? Okay. No, I'm not ready to move
sometimes
on.
Sometimes called the coin purse, actually, so it makes sense.
Oh boy. So the skin, of course, has to be taken off in one piece.
One fell swoop.
And then the coin, so in order to get a little more money, you've taken money from someone else.
And not just any coin and not just from any someone else, a poor widow. It's gotta be a poor widow. Can't be a rich bachelor.
So you already you're maybe not karmically in a good place.
No, but the whole thing. You're trying to tip the scales of universal finance in your favor. You gotta deal a little injury somewhere to get the benefit.
I guess that makes sense. So sorry, back to the one piece of skin. And it goes within the scrotum on the skin that it's in one piece.
Yes.
So you gotta reach into it like a glove.
Yeah, you're peeling this thing away.
I wish that wasn't what I had to do.
It is, but look, if you want more money.
I did say I want more money. I just want a little more money.
A little more cash. And then when you get that coin, you're gonna have to put a special you're gonna scrawl a magical sign called Nebrakar Starfer. You're going to scroll that on paper. You're going to put that in the scrotum too. And then you know what you're going to do, Brian?
What am I going to do?
Well, you're going to have to put those on as pants. You're going to wear the man's skin as pants.
I'm standing up now.
Brian's leaving. I think you might be leaving. I can't do this alone.
Oh man!
As you stood up, you were just wearing corpse pants.
That's all right.
I've had them on.
I've been following so far.
yeah.
So, just to make sure that I'm clear, the bodysuit comes on as pants.
Yeah.
But are we doing it 90s style, like a jumpsuit, tying up the front of the jumpsuit?
Yeah, sort of like overalls with the bib down.
Yeah,
is what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
there's actually you can find a replica. There's some necropants in the Witchcraft Museum in Iceland. This is a real thing.
Oh no, I have to Google image search this right now.
Yeah, look up some necropants. Just Google literally necropants.
I'm so nervous. Oh wow. I do. Okay. So I'm not going to put this on the screen just for the sake of anybody. Also, I do not know how Twitch would feel about it. Sure. But you can Google image search necropants. You will see a shriveled dick skin.
Yeah,
but other than that, it's not that bad to look at. But okay, so this is really just the necro pants.
We don't have the jumpsuit
situation that.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happens with the torso skin, to be honest with you.
Because it was supposed to be in one piece when the coin went into the scrotum.
Correct. I don't know if you sew them in. Look, I'm not a northern sorcerer. I'm just a casual scholar. Eric,
not a medieval sorcerer is really like my number one complaint about you as a human being.
You mention it every time, and it's a real sore spot.
Well, you'll get there, bud. You'll get there.
I don't think I will. I don't think I ever will. So this is just one item of magical clothing. One thing that the Vikings were pretty big on is carving runes and symbols into objects to increase or enhance their power in some way. So I'm actually, before, there's a ton of really fun examples like this. I'll give you one more. Do you know how you tell the future according to the Vikings? Or do one way?
What was that about one way? Oh, sorry.
One way among many to divine the...
Do I have to put anything in a dead man's scrotum?
No, actually. This one, no.
I'm in. Let's go.
So you can find a wise woman. You just got to put her on your roof. Just sit on a roof.
The wise woman has to sit on the roof.
Or you. It could be you. But if you have a wise woman, that's probably better. But it can
interesting.
Be you too.
Interesting. And that just tells you the future?
You sit on the roof, you wait for it to get dark, you're alone, and you let some kind of premonition come to you, but it's better if you're on the roof.
Interesting. You know, it's like this probably very nice, serene moment.
I think so. You can see further. I didn't know when I was watching this, I was like, maybe they just see things from further away, so it seems like they're telling the future because they can just see stuff before it gets there.
Eric, I'm putting some things together here.
Uh-huh.
This is me taking a wild swing. This is not me saying anything. I'm connecting a couple of dots of things we've talked about over the years.
Sure.
But like, imagine, you're sitting on the roof of your Viking hut, your Viking house.
Yeah, long haul kind of situation, probably.
Yeah. And you're watching as the sun sets. It gets dark, and you see, like, you think of the future, maybe perhaps a future that you would like to see. You go out there, and using the power of the secret. / chaos magic, manifest that future for yourself.
Yeah, could be. Well, we're going to get to a practice, Brian, the darkest of Viking magic.
Darker than the fucking necro pants?
Oh, yeah. Called Scyther.
Oh, boy.
And that's where it gets real.
So this
is just a fun thing. So with the roof thing, it's funny because there are like church edicts just forbidding men from putting their wives on the roof anymore. No more wives on the roof.
If the Catholic Church sees one wise woman on this roof, this whole thing's coming down.
You keep that wife off the roof. That wife better not be. I see you with the ladder. That wife better not be going on the roof.
Is that ladder to put the fucking wife on the roof? Is that what you're doing?
Literally. I mean, just imagine, like, a society of people just, like, putting their wife on the roof, putting a baby through a hole. They're just going over stuff, through stuff all the time.
Stop putting people down.
The town.
So the state of Arizona in chat, necropants are basic bitch level, Brian. Keep it up.
That's right. The state of Arizona is absolutely right. It's about to get crazy. So let me give you the overview of, so the Norse had a really rich and diverse magical culture, which is really, I think a lot of people think historically of the Vikings as sort of brutish idiots, more or less.
I certainly think of Hagar the Horrible.
Exactly. Just a man in a pelt, just clubbing an Irish monk to death, like a baby seal, and stealing stuff and getting back on the boat and sailing away. Pretty much.
Is that not historically accurate?
I don't think so. I think not. But they were a very sophisticated people, very interesting people. They were traders and merchants and explorers and all sorts. They made beautiful crafts. And they had a really rich magical culture. And so there's a couple of different, I shouldn't say a couple, there's many different sort of branches of Viking magic. I'm just going to run through them really quick. Stop me at any point. You got a question, let me know. So the first one that you guys have all probably heard of is runes. Runes, those sort of angular blocky things. The dwarves did those in Lord of the Rings, all that.
Right. That's mostly how I relate to the world.
That's exactly. Lord of the Rings, dwarves. It's one of the things we know the least about. Think there may have been some pre-Viking divination component to them, but we don't know a lot about. There's only like 5 to 10 actual sources on them. There's no evidence that they were used for divination. They were probably used for divination before the Viking Age. We don't know. There's evidence of carving runes into objects to give a magical effect. This is probably one of the most famous, well-known things about the Vikings and probably what we know the least of.
Interesting. And I wonder if that's kind of what creates a cultural fascination, you know?
It's like, well, there they're is very no... striking visually.
Right. So that's so interesting. So those things that are all through pop culture, like Viking runes, we don't know shit of why they use them.
We don't really know what they were for. We don't know. We have some idea of what some of the symbols mean.
Yeah, but some idea, huh?
Yeah, it's not a cut and dry case, not an open and shut case.
Interesting. That's extremely interesting.
It's funny too what sort of seeps into the popular culture via just like role playing games and video games and D&D and stuff like that, and that's sort of what gets glommed on
yeah. to
our impression of this of these people. Okay, next up we have, so there's two main brands, this is what I learned from this channel. There's sort of two main branches that overlap, I guess you could say, of Viking magic, and those are Galdr and Sæther. So
Galdr and Sæther.
Uh-huh, that's right. And so Galdr is like a, and there's different translations of this, but it's like a chant or a rhyme or a verse. But think of almost a, I'm trying to think of what, because these still exist in common language, like a little, almost like a, when you say knock on wood for something not to happen.
Sure.
That's like a Galdr. It's like a little folksy way of okay. just a quick thing or a rhyme you might say to fix something. Don't step on a crack, break your mother's back. That's kind of a Galdr-y kind of thing. So it's usually a rhyme, an incantation. It's not full bore sorcery, though a lot of this stuff gets outlawed or Christianized, and a lot of times like Odin gets replaced with Jesus, so now Jesus is healing your horse's hoof and not Odin or whatever. And that's actually another source of this stuff, is there's a lot of post-Christian things that survive, but you can kind of trace back the pre-Christian Viking origin.
That kind of goes back to what we were talking about in our Christmas episode.
Exactly. There's a lot of overlap here, actually.
Yes. Yes. Interesting. Interesting. Interesting.
Cool. So next up, we've got Sæther, and this is
real fast. I have to interrupt Jazia in the chat. When there's only one set of footprints in the sand, it was Odin.
That's great. Carrying me.
We learned the Galen.
Galdr. We're doing
what? What was next?
So we've got Sæther. So this is maybe the most interesting thing. Thor's got a ton of videos on this. So here's what we know about Sæther. This gets a little some of this can get a little controversial.
Interesting.
So, okay. So here's what we know, and we know this from some Eddas, from some sagas, from some other accounts. So Sæther involves usually a woman, but sometimes a male practitioner, though male practitioner, super taboo, super frowned upon, could be put to death in Viking society, potentially, if you were a male doing this.
Interesting.
Always involves a staff of some kind. Always involves a raised platform of some kind. The raised platform or cart, or sort of think of almost like a gallows, like a hangman's gallows, or just some kind of raised platform that gets mentioned every time. Usually some kind of trance state or musical component. So like wild dancing or chanting or singing.
Okay.
There's allusions to the use of magical or hallucinogenic herbs.
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Sounds like a big party so far.
It's a big party. And now a little bit of the controversial side. There's an element. So even though the Sæther practitioners were usually feared or respected or kind of venerated, but also on the fringes of society, there's also a big element of shame and sexual shame involved in the practice of Sather.
And interesting.
We don't know exactly what happened, but some of the basic theories are that there is some kind of public sexual act. The staff may be anointed with these hallucinogenic herbs used in a masturbatory way by these priestesses in a public setting, or if it's a priest penetrating anally, basically,
yeah,
in another way, which would suggest why it's like also taboo. And this person sort of works himself up into a frenzy or a trance wherein they call the spirits and either perform some kind of divination or a curse or try to change reality in some way, like change the weather for an upcoming voyage or do some kind of battle magic or something
interesting.
Crazy. Interesting. Yeah. So this was like the deep dark. This was like this person who did this. And also there's allusions that it was often a sort of traveling band who would travel from settlement to settlement and do this for money of some
kind. Got it. So we'll do the, so a bunch of people ride into town and like, yo, this lady will fuck a staff and change the weather if you give us money.
Literally. Yes.
All right.
Literally that.
So I have a question. I'm just assuming you may not know the answer to these. I'm just asking them.
I know nothing.
So what I would ask an expert is, were these large public things? Like, was everyone in the town there, or were these like dark ceremonies hidden away?
I don't think we know, but my understanding was these are semi-public rituals. It wasn't secret. People knew this went on. It wasn't common. It was pretty rare.
Sure.
And it was sort of a special thing when it happened. But I get the sense that people there was a kind of a crowd observing this. And there's even in some, I forget what saga it is or whatever, but there's an account of basically a series of men interacting with the priestess, and whether they have sex with her first or something, but they come on the platform and have some kind of interaction that's not really specified. And she gives them some kind of answer or divination. And then the next guy comes on. So if this, I don't know if there's some kind of orgy component, honestly.
A lot of use of the word come.
Yeah. I was just teeing them up for you.
Beautiful.
So that's kind of the real, yep. They would come on the platform or come, C-U-M on the platform. I'm sorry. Thank you, State of Arizona. So that's the sort of real deep, dark sorcery, wizardry stuff. And this was heavy shit. You could, according to the sources, you could use this to kill or weaken someone, to drive someone mad, to change the weather, to tell. So basically you could tell what was going to be, you could divine the future, or you could change the future via this power. And it was always by calling forth the spirits, either the local spirits or spirits of the dead, to intercede on your behalf and change reality, basically.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And so that's just what, that's a Sather. We got more coming.
Oh boy.
Runes. We've got Galdr. We've got Sather. Next is divination generally. So Sather is just one way of divining the future. The Vikings love to know what was going to happen. More coming, you say. I can't stop saying the word come. Got hot Viking blood in my veins. I'm all worked up. So here's some ways that you could predict the future as a Viking. You could use Sather. You could use Utiseta, which literally means sitting outside, which is a Viking meditation practice.
On the roof, per se?
Could be on the roof. More typically on a burial mound, or at a crossroads, or by like a grove or a waterfall, or some kind of place of power.
I keep hearing that a lot. You said that about putting babies through holes and stuff. A lot of crossroads. What's with this crossroads? So where does the crossroad prominence come in?
I'm not sure, but you're absolutely right. It's a pattern that repeats. It repeats itself in a lot of magic, but especially in Viking magic, there's a lot of different rituals or some Galdr stuff that involves being at a crossroads. There's one ritual for a young maiden to see her future husband would be to hide under a sheepskin at a crossroads, and the first guy she saw was who she would marry. So there's something about I think part of it is you're likely to see people at a crossroads.
Sure.
Honestly.
I mean, that makes sense for that one. Sure.
Sure. But there, I think there's some symbolically something about the confluence, something about a choice point, something about where things diverge and come together. I don't know.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense, especially in like smaller communities where like where you're born is kind of where you're going to die. Like those crossroads might be the most exciting place in town.
For sure. That's where you meet the stranger. That's where, see some new stuff. They had casting lots. One way they would try to tell the future was by gazing into fires and just looking at shapes and patterns. Sure. Dream reading was big. Dice. They'd look at the birds, check out a whole bunch of geese, see what they're doing. I'll tell you what's happening.
Hey, what are these geese up to?
Hey, what are these geese up to?
And then there's a Catholic monk down like, yo, get off the roof.
Literally, stop looking at the geese, get off the roof, quit playing dice, get back in the pew. There's a lot of these Vikings were just full of beans. They could not be contained.
Beautiful.
So that's that. So we could talk about Utaseta in a little bit later. It transformed into a ritual called Arskane, which I'm definitely not saying right, but it's still done actually in parts of Scandinavia, and it's called the yearly walk. And basically what you're supposed to do according to this ritual or routine, and it's almost like a nice kind of just New Year's palate cleanser. And by the way, the Viking New Year was closer to our Halloween. But what you're supposed to do, but I think people now or more in more recent times did it around Christmas and the actual New Year's, is you're supposed to fast pretty much all day. You're supposed to leave your house, not talk to anybody, not look behind you. According to the sources I read, dwarves will try to make you laugh. You can't laugh. Got to stay silent. Those dwarves are going to try to make you laugh.
Especially when dwarves come and try to make you laugh.
They're going to tell some jokes. You can't laugh at them. You're supposed to blow into the keyhole of a church to temporarily renounce your Christianity. This is one of those fun little post-Christian details where you're like, okay, you can do this, but you can't technically be a Christian for 5 minutes, so you got to do this thing. But then you'll be back a Christian again. It's fine. And you go to a cemetery, and you're supposed to sit there. And this kind of harkens back to all the burial mound sitting that's recommended in other places. And depending on what you see, there's different things that you see which will portend different things for the coming year. So Utaseta was outlawed by the church, and it kind of morphed into this Arskane thing. Chad is the dwarves, Brian is the Viking, and he's fucking failing. State of Arizona.
Yeah.
So we could talk about that more later. They did a lot of necromancy, which is not like raising zombies in the Viking context. It's more just speaking to the spirits of the dead.
Yeah, sure.
Of ancestors, things like that. One way they did this was by walking counterclockwise around a grave and calling up the dead person to chat with them.
I have not tried that one. I've tried to talk to ghosts on various streams, various times. I've never walked counterclockwise around a grave.
I think one day, Brian, what's going to happen, because I know you do have you're on a quest to summon the devil.
Truly. Yep.
I think we're going to get you a grimoire and just see. I'm too scared. I'm not going to.
My wife will hate that, but I'm gay.
I'm not doing it. I'm too afraid.
No. Would you?
I would monitor.
Even do it digitally? Would you?
I'd monitor from. I'd be in like the spy movies. I'd be in the van with the headphones.
Okay. You know what I mean? All right.
In the pizza delivery van.
What are you, man? Grimoires are on our list of things to talk about on this show, and I don't know anything about it. And I'm game. I'm game, baby.
It's heavy, dude.
Oh baby! Can't wait till we do that one.
Okay, so there's shape-shifting. So this is a little bit different, too. This is not like a werewolf kind of situation. This is more in sagas. There's accounts of people falling asleep and going into a trance-like state and possessing an already living animal, typically something like a bird or a whale, and using that animal to journey to very different places and seeing what's going on.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Neat.
There was the use of sigils, which are kind of like runes, but they typically tend to be a little more ornate, and they could be carved, but they were often painted. So sort of an extension of the rune thing. Tell you what they were big on: herbs and potions.
Okay.
They loved their pharmacology.
I can fuck with the herbs.
Brian loves an herb. Loves an herb. They did a lot of what do they have? A lot of henbane, a lot of mugwort, a lot of herbs that actually were hallucinogenic or had medicinal properties that they figured out, and they combined them in interesting ways to do stuff. Usually would combine that with some kind of incantation while making it or using it or ingesting it. So pretty sophisticated in that sense. And then there was just a lot of sympathetic magic. So just different rituals to imbue something with the power of something else, or using sort of symbolism in one regard. There was a Nordic voodoo doll that was usually made of dough or bread or something like that. And it worked very similarly to the voodoo dolls we know today. That's the basic, 10,000 foot overview of some of what we know of Viking magic.
Fascinating.
Super interesting. I'll give you one fun fact. They don't know if the Vikings did this, but some of the tribal peoples east of them, the Sami people in Finland and stuff like that. Check out. So normally if you eat magic mushrooms, especially really potent ones, you can maybe have some bad physical side effects, whatever. So what they actually do in some of these cultures is the shaman, who's a little more inured to this stuff and can handle a little better, will eat just a shit ton of magic mushrooms and just piss in cups. And the tribespeople will drink the piss. So he kind of filters out all of the really gnarly stuff. Mm-hmm. And you can still hallucinate from shaman urine. Which is, I'm saying, we got to get our hands on a bottle of hot shaman piss, Brian.
Eric. Hypothetical time.
Yeah, talk to me.
Hashtag piss talk in the chat. Everybody loves piss talk. Welcome to the Brian and Eric podcast within a podcast. Piss talk. I'm Brian. That's Eric.
We're talking piss.
We're talking piss. Eric, if I could get you a bottle of, and I could swear, I could verify that it was 100% legitimate shaman piss.
I'm drinking it.
You would drink it?
I'm chugging that thing.
I think I would too.
Put it in the microwave, get it hot again. I'm chugging that thing.
And that was piss talk for this week. We'll catch you next week for more hot piss talk.
What have we become?
People who want to do drugs.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Not just any piss. I want to see God.
Yeah, I think this will do it.
I think so.
I wonder if it's like a cast iron pan and a shaman whose just kidneys have filtered just a lot of hallucinogens. It's more potent in some way.
Interesting.
It's like seasoned, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't rinse those. You can't use soap on those kidneys.
No, they're just in you. They're just strapped inside of you. Why would you want
it? The actual soft fuzzy man asks in all caps, why would you want it warm?
That's how you do it.
What? The state of Arizona says, Brian, I have this on in the background while I'm writing an essay. Is that essay about piss? And if not, this may not be appropriate.
Right, yeah, probably not. I would avoid it.
I'd avoid it. Yeah, if I would just avoid the show in general. There were so many of these things that I'm like really fascinated. I have so many. We have to get it. We have to do a part two and like get an actual expert on.
I think we should. What I would like to interview the person who runs this channel.
I would love that.
He's honestly, I have a lot of respect for his scholarship. He really does, because he reads Norwegian and a lot of the Scandinavian languages. It's like Romance languages. Read one, I think you can read the other ones and Old Norse and stuff. And he really goes into the Eddas and the sagas and all these old historical sources. And he knows a lot. Brian, I have a question for you.
Hit me.
If you wanted to become magically adept, or as the Vikings would say, troll cunning.
Troll cunning. I like that.
So here's, okay, so here's, well, before we go down that road, I'll tell you. So we all know trolls, right? Those adorable little dolls, you comb their hair, they're really weird. Mm-hmm. So yep. A troll is just the Viking word for a spirit, some kind of spirit entity.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yep, yep.
It's a lot of what we have, yeah. A lot of troll, goblin, hobgoblin, mm-hmm. Things that kind of got like codified thanks to fantasy in pop mm-hmm. culture often just meant the same thing of like yeah. little monster or spirit or thing.
Yep.
And so that's both surprising and like, no, that makes sense that no, they didn't have codified rules of what a troll was. It was just a spirit.
That's right. Yeah, it was a spiritual entity. There were a lot of different ones. There were elves, there were sort of hearth spirits, there were land spirits, there were all these things that behaved differently and I guess you could say existed in a different part of the spiritual ecology. And then post-Christianity, they all became trolls. Every Viking spirit is now a troll, a demon, it's bad. But before that conversion, there was a whole mess of them. So if you want, and so one of the words for someone who's adept in magic is troll cunning, as in like spirit wise.
I like it.
There's a couple ways to do it. You ready for them?
Which one are we doing?
So you got some options. Tell me.
All right, great.
You can crawl or sit underneath a coffin with a dead person inside, or sit under a hanged man. That's one.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, there's got to be a dead person inside that thing. Yeah. That's a lot.
Next one.
Okay, it gets a little. You can hug a tree, but it's got to have a cuckoo inside it.
Ah, oh, that's so specific.
Yeah, it's a very. I couldn't even tell you what a cuckoo is. Like, what kind of.
Is those still like a rat? It really can't just be a goose.
Don't worry. I don't think it can. It's got to be a cuckoo. You got some more options, though. Take a frog out of a snake's mouth.
Oh, that's so dangerous.
It is dangerous. You got to deal with a snake. There's nothing that says you can't engineer the situation. You know what I mean? Put this frog in the snake's mouth, take it out.
I mean, there's a lot of like spiritual and religious practices that generally get around the.
Sure. There's usually a loophole.
Right. Right. So, okay. So we can engineer this situation of like, it can be a harmless snake and we can put it. It didn't say we can't put it into the mouth and. All right.
Take it out.
So the state of Arizona asks a great question. What if you have a friend named Snake?
It's a great question.
But like, we just have to try. I guess we'd have to try it and see if the loophole works.
A friend named Snake, first of all.
That'd be a great. If Eric, if you were like, oh man, I was hanging out with my friend Snake. I'm like, invite me next time. I want to meet Snake.
You know how married couples sometimes have a hall pass where it's like, well, if you go on a date with Angelina Jolie, you can make that happen.
Right.
I feel like we have a podcast friend hall pass where if either one of us meets someone named Snake who wants to co-host the podcast, then the other, we just voluntarily leave. If you meet a guy named Snake who wants to I'll be out of here. You run with it, pal. You earned it.
That is the new rule.
I'm just watching with a silent tear down my face as you just take a series of frogs out of your friend Snake's mouth.
I have a new binding contract for this podcast that we have only just decided to do weekly and have just stopped doing before.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You and I must keep doing this show until we each find a person named Snake to secede us.
Wow. I love it.
And then one day, this show will evolve into Snake and Snake Don't Belong Here. Who will continue doing the show.
Two terrariums filled with silent snakes.
It has to be a human being named Snake.
It's going to go viral, man.
It can't be a snake. No, it's a human named Snake. Yeah, we have to find two people named Snake to Cicida. That'll finally get the show to be big.
Well, so here, speaking of snakes, you've got another option.
Okay. Yeah. Great. So far, I think taking the frog out of a snake's mouth is the best option. Cause I think I can get around that one.
It's the most viable for sure. You can drink water that a white snake has been boiled in.
Okay. A white snake?
A white snake. It's not clear if it's a member of the band White Snake or an actual white snake.
I'm going to assume just based on the time period that it is a member of the band White Snake.
I think so. That's probably the most likely.
But if we have to just special order a snake that is white, okay, that one's, and you just boil it and drink the water.
That's right.
That's pretty doable. I mean, don't get me wrong, it'd be a little expensive to probably acquire.
And I think you have to, the snake is going to die. You're going to kill
it. Yeah.
A snake will be harmed in the process of.
I'm not especially a snake lover, and I'm assuming I'm wearing my necro pants while I'm doing this. So, like, yeah, everything's really gone out.
This earth.
Everything's really gone out the window.
Yeah. You can sit Utseta 3 Thursdays in a row. So, once again, that's sitting usually on some kind of burial mound by yourself. You're fasting. You're out there. Do it 3 Thursdays in a row. And
right near a cemetery. I think that one is doable.
Be careful.
If I can't get a white snake.
Be careful. A lot, you know, people have been reported going missing or going insane doing this. So just take it easy.
Okay.
You do it 3 Thursdays in a row. On the 3rd Thursday, a dark man will emerge and present you with a gift.
Okay.
It's not clear what that gift is, but probably some of it is this troll cunning business.
Yeah.
You can own or use a Svartbok. That's a black book. That's a grimoire.
Okay.
Or you can learn from a teacher, but the teacher has to be older than you, and they must be of the opposite gender from you.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What an interesting.
Yep. So that's the way. Don't try this at home. I wouldn't recommend any.
No, don't do any of those things.
Anything we say, don't do it. Do the opposite.
Just don't. Unless, you know, even if we say breathe, stop breathing, but don't do anything we say.
Oh, catch 22. Oh,
gotcha.
Got him. We got him again.
Fucking idiots.
We got him. Let me see if there's anything else on here that we can go into. There's a way to determine what your spirit animal is. The Norse believed in a spirit animal.
Okay.
There's all sorts. There's a lot, man.
Is there a way to determine that right now that we can do?
There actually is if you have a knife and a napkin.
I have neither of those near me. I have an index card and a pen.
That's pretty close.
That's pretty close.
So I'll tell you the method.
Great.
You just need some kind of like cloth. You could even maybe use your hat. I don't know if you want to take that off. But basically what you do, right, is so they believed in something called a filja, which is like the Irish have a similar concept called a fetch. And it's just part of your soul that follows you and protects you throughout your life, and it's typically either a female spirit or some kind of animal. You actually don't want to see this thing while you're alive because it's an omen of your imminent death. So if you see it, that's pretty bad. You don't want that. But basically, so how
sure
you
hope it's not a pigeon.
I do hope it's a pigeon.
That would track for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a sturdy bird. That's a working man's bird.
There we go.
So what you do is you take a ritual knife, you wrap it in a cloth, ritual pen wrapped in an index card or cloth.
Okay.
You pass it back and forth 3 times between your left and your right hand in front of you and behind you. So this is just a warm up round. So you do that 3 times in front of you, 3 times behind you. And then while you're passing it, you recite my filja is, and then you insert animal, like whatever animal, like you guess it's a bear, right? Or you guess it's a pigeon. My filja is a pigeon. And you're saying, my filja is a pigeon. Do it behind you. If when you return the knife or the pen back, the blade is visible in some way, the napkin has dropped to reveal the blade, that thing is your spirit animal.
Oh,
and you keep repeating that with different animals until this happens. That's how you deduce what your spirit animal is.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Interesting. My filja is a pigeon. 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 The pen is not currently visible from my hand.
It's not a pigeon.
All right. I guess we'll have to keep going. I'll figure it out. I'll report
back.
We'll
keep you guys posted.
Yeah.
We'll be here next week. A subway rat that's constantly pissing.
That also could be me.
So we covered a lot.
Is that, man, I have so many, like the best of our Brian and Eric episodes, I have so many more questions than when we started. And like, we're going to have to do it again. We're going to have to bring in an expert. We're going to have to learn more about this. This was a fascinating fucking topic, dude.
Yeah, this is just a brief. We just did a real quick cruise by of a massive world. Here's what's crazy too, dude, is some of this stuff shows up. So there's certain rituals that you see in Viking magic that will also show up in the Rig Vedas, which are like esoteric Indian, as in the subcontinent of India rituals and stuff, 1,000 years apart, thousands of miles away. And they have almost the same things overlapping. So it's kind of kooky, kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. Eric, I guess we're at about time, man. This was a good one. I had a good fucking time with this one, dude.
Viking magic, baby.
Hey Eric, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me hidden away in a fjord on top of a burial mound, just trying to figure it out. No, I'm right here.
Are you the dark man that will approach and give you a gift? No.
No, I'm too pale. I have no gifts. You can see me from a mile away. You shine a light, you see my whole face light up like a dang moon. This old potato head, kidding me? No. Yeah, I'm right here. You can catch me right here. Brian and Eric don't belong here. Every Tuesday for the foreseeable future at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And after that, immediately, or not immediately, within the next couple of hours. Within a reasonable time frame on anywhere you can get your podcasts. I'm Brian. You can find me also here Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock ET and wherever you get your podcasts. But also, I'm here Sunday nights at around 11 where I do a Smallville podcast with my friend Zach. That's a lot of fun. Definitely check it out. That's also available on Spotify only because we like to incorporate some music into that one. And beginning next Tuesday, I got another podcast coming out with my wife, Emily. It's just called Good Morning. Comes out Tuesday mornings. It's some chill vibes, some cool tunes, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I guess that's everything.
Yeah, we're
clear. Is that it? Should we get out of here?
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here. Hey, NWK.
We're coming.
We're coming. We're coming, buddy.
Hang on.
We're going to get you.
Hang on, pal. Keep partying.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys.